Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a B2B marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, though, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, we'll be talking about marketing yourself with National Communications Manager at Crow UK, Jennifer Spencer-Charles, with experienced business marketer Rachel Hind-Harris, and with founder of Tribal Impact, Sarah Goodall. Are you ready? Well, let's cut to the chase. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in business marketing land. And we've reached Y. Y stands for marketing yourself. Three experts will talk on the topic today, starting with National Communications Manager at Crow UK, Jennifer Spencer-Charles. Jennifer, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
I suppose I've been quite lucky in my career, having worked across six different industries within both public and private sector. I've been able to see the different approaches taken to internal communications and the overall employee experience. For some, it is wholly ingrained into the organisation, taking the approach of our people before clients. In others, not so much, but I would say understandably so. The idea of a one approach fits all is just not true. And what worked for me at the county council didn't work at the housing developers and may only partially work at the new accountancy firm. Excellence in internal communications for me is understanding this and knowing that sometimes you have to just go back to basics. With this sudden surge, for want of a better word, in internal communications since the pandemic, organisations of all sizes are seeing the importance of internal comms and the role it can truly play in supporting your people. However, it's very easy and tempting to jump at the chance of using a new shiny tool or platform offered to us on one of the never-ending sales calls we've been receiving over the past 18 months. I can't sit here and say that it won't work or it's all rubbish, because I simply don't know that, because I don't know your people and I don't know who works for you. What I do know, however, is that we are working at a time where our employees could not be more vast. Baby boomers, Gen Xers, millennials and Gen Z are all in the same office, communicating, learning and absorbing information in completely different ways. So it's not surprising that some Facebook-style internal comms tool isn't going to work for, say, a quarter of your office when they don't even know what Facebook is. You also have to find a balance of what you want them to know about. For example, equality, diversity, and inclusion is at the core of the younger generation. This plays a large part in them joining a business or why they stay. So they are likely to want to see this at the front and center of what you're telling them internally. For those that are a little bit older, it may still be just as important, but they'd rather see the client wins and how well the company are doing to ensure they have job security and can pay their mortgage at the end of the month. So how can you ensure you are doing a good job with your internal comms? Well, make a cake. And don't worry, I'm not suggesting you make some kind of bake-off competition in your office, although I know plenty of companies that have. This is an analogy I use. People sometimes are so focused on putting the cherry on top of the cake, they forget you need egg and flour to make it. Simply put, you need a solid base from which to develop. Most of the time, businesses have all the right ingredients, shall we say, so what would be the eggs, flour and butter and milk and sugar. But if you have too much or too little, you're going to have a sloppy cake. So why not just take a step back? Look at the internal comms tools that you have to set this really good foundation. newsletters, emails, intranet, events, lunch and learns, whatever they are, and however out of date you may think some of them are, what are people engaging with most? What isn't working? I've seen companies scrap perfectly good newsletters for online collaboration tools as the newsletter was seen as outdated. The engagement plummeted as over a third of their people didn't even log onto the platform, mainly because they didn't know how to, but also because they just couldn't be bothered. They were really happy to sit in the lunchroom with a cup of tea and read either the online or the printed newsletter. Once, and only once, you have got that good solid batter, for, again, want of a better word, do you even consider decorating your cake, as in look at the new shiny tools, platforms, and other ideas you may have. We are privileged in our job that if something doesn't work, we can stop, we can go back, we can try again with a completely different approach. But we get to bring all that knowledge we've gained on that first attempt. And while we are working, as I say, with such a broad range of generations, there's nothing wrong with offering a couple of different cake options if that's what works for you. Simply put, internal communications is vital in business, and as more people wake up to this, the quicker people will grab an idea and run with it without always considering if it's the best approach. Remember, internal comms is about opting in, not opting out. If you push too much on your people, they will opt out, they will ignore you. You need to give them a reason to listen and engage. You want them to opt in. Having worked in internal communications for over 15 years, having seen the new tools, the new platforms, and the advances in tech that have now seen people engage both personally and professionally in such different ways, yes, you absolutely need to continue to evolve, but not at the expense of one set of employees. There is nothing wrong with stopping for a moment, slowing down, and just reviewing what you've done and what needs to be done. We are only human, and we will always want to do things in the simplest and quickest way, as time is precious. And I will never argue or disagree with you on that. But if you want to deliver excellence in your internal comms, recognize the privilege you have of working with such a diverse range of people. Learn from them, talk to them, understand what internal comms approaches and tools are working best for them, so that when you are ready to engage with them, Mary Berry won't have a patch on you.
Jennifer Spencer-Charles, that's great advice there. Thank you very much. Our second expert is experienced business marketer, Rachel Hind-Harris. Rachel, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Brilliant, thank you for having me. So in preparation for this podcast, Dave, you asked me to think about internal communications. And while I've not had an official internal communications role, in my long tenure of marketing, I've had been on the receiving end of many examples of internal communications. We get them daily. But what I wanted to do is share particularly one example that stands in my mind as being particularly bad. This was from a long time ago, but also then work through three examples that I've seen in the past 2 years, specifically from the pandemic start onwards, where I think people are starting to shine on internal communications. So starting with the negative, which I always think is good to get out of the way. So this actually comes from example from my husband from about 20 years ago. It was a global IT company, and they were making a major restructure. Now, this global IT company had followed the sun global IT support in data centers. What they did was they put the announcement out in the US, including the new org charts for both Asia Pacific and Europe, which didn't include everyone and was a major piece of news. And they put it out in US time. What they didn't realise, or what they seem to forget, is that these data centres are follow the sun and they also operate 24/7, or they did back then. So the people in the UK, which is where my husband and I were based, knew within minutes of this being published in what was the middle of the night for the UK about these changes. And it caused uproar and challenges, and it ended up costing that IT company a lot more money because of their misconduct, if you like, in how they communicated it to people. Now, this is one of the worst examples I've come across, and I haven't come across anything as bad as this in my last 20 years of working. So on the flip side, there is a lot to learn from that. And I think with the advent of social media and the progression of the proliferation of information and how easy it is to be tripped up, I think people are a lot more careful. And I'd actually like to use an example from Panasonic, and I did get permission from the person who spread these communications, which was our general affairs lead in Europe. And from the start of the pandemic, he took it on himself to send out individual communications to the UK team that included a weekly quiz, sort of pub quiz, and different competitions to try and keep up people's spirits. They started a regular newsletter on the intranet, and everyone got used to seeing this. And he kept this up every week for at least the first 100 days. And then when he actually took a holiday, he sent a note to everyone to say, I'm taking a break. You won't hear from me for a couple of weeks. And I don't know how anyone else felt, but for me personally, I was almost waiting for that email to come round. Admittedly, there's only so many competitions and weekly pub quizzes you can do. So the communications did evolve over time. But it was a really good way of keeping people's spirits up, and a really genuine message coming out and genuine concern for the UK team. So I think that for me was the most beneficial form of internal communications, most uplifting that I've seen in well, 2 years since the pandemic started. So that is one more recent one. And another thing I've seen on LinkedIn is there's been a period of change in terms of the sort of information I'm seeing in the posts. It has, as we've come out of lockdown, changed back more to a lot of sales message and industry news. But again, during the pandemic, what I've seen more of is people shouting about the pride they have in their company. So they're shouting about the new starters, welcoming people, putting out information about their branded pack that they've got, or their staff meeting. So while that's not necessarily internal communications, it's showing to your internal staff and your colleagues that actually you really value what's going on in your company. So I really enjoyed that, and it actually, on a couple of them, sparked internal conversations that I had with other colleagues to say, actually, I really liked what you put out up there. And it was a bit of a morale booster. So while not technically internal communications, it was communicating about something internal to a wider audience, but also got back to your internal team. So I did really like that flow of information. And the use of video as well in internal communications. So we've seen in our company, we've seen an increase in the use of video messages from our senior management. So not just, here's the annual results, we're actually getting a video. So we get the face of our leaders telling us what's going on, what's the current status and where we're heading and what's the strategy. And in the absence of being able to travel to kickoffs, you know, it really adds that personal touch to internal communications. And then the sort of last example I'd like to pick up on actually is is from about 8 years ago. And this was a company I was working at. They were going through major, major strategic change. And they had a message all about True North, finding your True North. And it was an internal communications program that involved training. It involved events. It involved email communications and using every other tool available. But all the messages were consistent and regular. And despite all the upheaval of the change, every single person I spoke to on my team and outside of my team within the company knew where we were headed and what the purpose of that change was. So it reduced the inevitable pain that can come with such major change, because everyone had the understanding of why and where we're going, and also had the support in the training and enablement. So that was on a much bigger scale across the globe. So all in all, I think what I've seen in my career is that internal communications roles per se are not actually as common as other marketing roles, but they are just as critical. So it's driven by individuals in the main. So aside from this example where there was the major global corporate change with the True North focus, actually the ones I've seen have been driven by individuals or departments. And if you leave it to someone in HR who doesn't have any communications training, you can end up in a bit of a mess. So that's my two pennies worth, if you like, about internal communications and what I've seen in my short, long tenure in marketing.
That was the long-tenured Rachel Hind-Harris. Rachel, thanks very much. Our third expert is the founder of Tribal Impact, Sarah Goodall. Sarah, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Dave. So on this topic, honestly, so much has changed over the last 18 months. It's absolutely changed everything. And B2B, you know, is traditionally relied on relationships being very face-to-face. Trade shows, in-person networking, conferences, they were the staple of B2B. But businesses have been forced to adapt and reinvent how they build relationships online over the last 18 months to 2 years. But this does show how, you know, you change the way the business works. But how does this connect with employee engagement? Well, first, employees that are engaged always links to employee advocacy, you know, which ultimately is linked to brand awareness. If you want your employees to be active online and speak positively about your brand, then it absolutely starts with culture. Today, brands live in glass houses. It's no longer possible to craft and curate the perfect brand image that isn't rooted into the heart of an organization. For me, transparency is everything, and customers want to see brands that are working really strongly and care deeply about cultural and societal issues. If you're not living your brand values, it's going to quickly be exposed through the voices of your employees online. Second, engaging your employees to be part of social conversations is going to support your sales teams. You just never know who might be within an organization that's connected to someone else that you need to speak to. And relationships, they don't stop within the sales team. They don't stop at the door of your organizational office. Your finance director might go cycling at the weekend with the finance director you're trying to get a deal signed off with. Once organizations start to think wider than just the sales team, they'll extend their digital eyes and ears to be part of many more conversations. And that starts with an employees that are engaged in the brand. My third reason is that engaged employees are going to help to attract talent to your organization. Employee stories and experiences, they're just essential for communicating the employer brand to your future talent pipeline. A little bit like inbound marketing, you know, if you create an environment where people have freedom to share and be themselves, it'll naturally just attract others that's going to thrive in that environment. According to JobFight, talent that's hired via existing employees onboard quicker, stay longer, and they're more engaged than those that are hired via other sources. It all sounds ideal, but can it really be achieved? Absolutely it can. But one thing I would say is that not all employees are ready for this. Don't make the mistake of making it mandatory and forcing employees to become advocates online for your brand. The last thing you need is every employee sharing and saying the same thing as everybody else. It's not authentic and it's not credible. To create advocacy, you first need to focus on engaging your employees, helping them to find their story within the bigger brand story. And there are companies that do this well already. You know, as the world has started to move to hybrid working models, but there are companies that have been operating remotely and engaging their employees for many years before the pandemic. The companies I personally look up to include Buffer, Trello, Toggle. They're all remote businesses and they openly share their cultural journey to engaging employees online. So they offer tips like hosting micro meetups regularly between team members to keep the face-to-face element, even though everybody else is working remotely. They also provide a lot of enablement to employees so they know what to do and what not to do online, so they don't expose themselves to risks unintentionally. But they also encourage employees to tell their story via content and get their stories out to the wider world. You know, so to conclude on the topic of engaging employees, it can have a huge impact on your brand awareness, supporting your sales teams, and attracting talent to the organization. But if there's one lesson to be learned, is you can't force employees to be part of this. It's firmly rooted and it absolutely starts within the culture of your organization. So engaging your employees will open yourself up to so many other benefits when it comes to advocacy online.
Founder of Tribal Impact, Sarah Goodall, thank you very much. And that's it for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, to Jennifer Spencer-Charles, Rachel Hind-Harris, and Sarah Goodall. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.